Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, the tangled relationships we have with our families and the challenges of mental illness are the major themes in the debut novel of Cambridge author Meera T. Lee. Her new book follows two sisters, Miranda and Lucia. Lucia struggles with mental illness, and Miranda often takes care of her. Lee writes from the point of view of each sister, painting a vivid picture of their relationship and the difficulties that define it. The book is titled Everything Here is Beautiful. Meera T. Lee, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me here.
So at the center of this book is really Lucia.
Correct,
and,
yep.
Tell us about her and your inspiration for her. Tell us a little, describe her to our listeners.
Well, Lucia is a very kind of free-spirited, unconventional, especially for a Chinese-American woman, I would say. And I really wanted to explore her in the entirety of her life as opposed to just her illness. So when I had first developed her as a character, she did have an illness, but I didn't want that to be the defining characteristic of her. I wanted readers to see her in her kind of entire glory and all her aspirations and ambitions for love and career and family and, you know, soulmates. She's very idealistic and romantic. And so that was my vision for her. I also always thought of her as, you know, very perceptive and kind of quirky. And I wanted to paint that picture of her. And not just, you know, somebody who had an illness. It was very important to me.
Right. So there's an excerpt that I'm wondering if you might read a little bit and just tell us a little bit about it before you read the, I think it's two paragraphs.
Yeah. So this excerpt is taken from the first chapter, and it's told from Miranda's point of view. She's the older sister. And this is just around the time that Lucia is having a psychotic break and Miranda's worried about her. So one day Lucia said she wanted to move back to New York. I don't think that's a good idea, I said. But by evening, she was already gone. That episode lasted 9 months. It was a young jogger who alerted a policeman who brought her into the emergency room. She'd been sitting on top of a manhole cover in the middle of the street, cold and disoriented, singing at the top of her lungs. I took the next train into the city, rushed to the hospital, signed the papers for her involuntary commitment. Two psychiatrists signed an agreement. Now the hospital could hold her against her will. When I found her the next day in the psychiatric unit, wearing blue scrubs and paper slippers, she shot me a look of blank hatred. "You," she said, "you put me here." That day, after I left the ward, I waited patiently until the elevator doors pinched closed. Then I broke down in tears.
It's really powerful, and I think it says a lot about the book in terms of illness and blame and guilt and the mental health system. So let's talk about just a few of those things. You wrote that particular paragraph from the perspective of Miranda. But in the book, you include several perspectives. Lucia's perspective, Lucia's partner's perspective, mm-hmm. some of the caregivers' perspectives.
Yeah.
Why do it that way? Is that, again, to show the complexity of the people involved?
Yeah, it's I wanted to show all sides of mental illness. I think that there are good stories of mental illness out there. There are a lot of great memoirs, but they're often told from one perspective, often the perspective of someone who's gone through it and has come out, you know, successfully on the other side. But there are so many untold stories, especially from family members who are very much affected by these illnesses. And these illnesses that involve psychosis in particular are extremely difficult to deal with because often the loved ones of the ill person are in conflict with, you know, their family member over getting treatment, over medications, you know, over how to take care of themselves. And so that was really the impetus for showing all these different perspectives, is that mental illness, these mental illnesses really have far-reaching ripple effects into into families.
Right, right. And because in this case, Lucia would get, she'd be fine for a while. Mm-hmm. She took her meds, she was fine. And yeah. then all of a sudden, you know, she would go off and be not lucid and not make sense and yeah. and almost become a danger to
yes.
herself. And then there's this forced hospitalization and she doesn't want to take the medication. And of course, it raises the question, right, of yeah. of a patient's responsibility over
yes.
their own care. And when do family members
yes.
intervene? And maybe a patient's decision-making capacity is somewhat diminished. So who gets to decide, and what about the patient's rights? You know, thorny, thorny stuff.
Extremely.
Right,
yes.
right. And did you want to do that deliberately to kind of bring
that Yeah, up? You know, I did, and it was really tricky because I realized that these issues are not kind of in the public consciousness, and to really... have a reader understand some of the frustrations, particularly Miranda's and also Manny's, who is Lucia's partner, who also has to take care of her. I really had to explain some of these issues around medications and compliance and what happens when an individual doesn't, you know, stay on medications and how that can be dangerous to themselves as well as people in their sphere, like children. And so, you know, I feel like showing all the different perspectives was really important in that way.
Right, right. Have you dealt with mental illness in your own family?
I have.
Is that
yeah.
What sort of prompted this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was inevitable that I was going to write about mental illness because I have family members who have suffered from schizophrenia. And so I've seen up close, you know, how scary psychosis is and also, you know, the frustrations of dealing with the mental health care system. And then also these conflicts, these kind of personal conflicts that come up when you're trying to take care of each other and but, you know, you can't agree on what needs to be done.
Right.
So
why write about that from, you know, in fiction as opposed to a memoir?
You know, so I feel like a lot of reasons. Well, first of all, having all the different perspectives is something that can only be done in fiction. You can't, you know, obviously write from four different perspectives if you're one person. But also it just gave me a lot more freedom to talk, to frame it in a life or in these for people's lives, as opposed to just talking about, you know, my own experience and my own perspective with a family member. And the other thing is that memoirs often kind of require like a nice ending that's kind of tied up in some way. And there are so many of these stories that just don't, you know, people kind of go day by day and they struggle and they live their lives and, you know, they have children and they, you know, have jobs and they lose jobs. And so I wanted this story to be told in a much bigger context, I think, than a memoir could possibly hold.
And what would you say are some of the main themes that you would like people to take away from this? Is it that the system, and I think at one point you say that the DSM manual, the mm-hmm. manual for mental health care, never, and no condition in that is ever followed by the word survivor, which I thought was a really interesting point to bring up. Is that what you want to say to folks, is you know, that there needs to be more hope in this system?
Well, there's so many, you know, kind of intractable issues with the mental health care system. But mostly, I think I didn't have any agenda when I was writing this, especially around mental illness. I really much, very much wanted to tell an intimate family story. So I would hope that people would read it as such. I think it's really about family relationships and how tricky it can be to do right by the ones we love, you know, especially trying to help someone when they don't want to be helped. And I think that's a pretty big theme. You know, what's the best way to love someone? What's, you know, what's love and what's duty? So those are the kinds of themes. And also, I'm always been very interested in these questions that don't have any right or wrong answers and where people are in conflict, but no one's really at fault. And there are many, many of those kinds of questions in this book that motivated me as I was writing it.
Was another question when you described Lucia, you said, you know, she's very free-spirited, adventurous. Mm-hmm. Was another question, how much of that is her and how much of that is her illness?
Yeah, and certainly As the book progresses, there are parts where it feels a little ambiguous as to what's going on. Is she having some kind of manic episode, or is she just, you know, is that just her, or is she impulsive? Is that just her, or is that her illness? And so I didn't want to let her off the hook and be like, oh, you know, she's behaving this way just because she has an illness, because I don't think it's ever that clear.
Right. Okay, well, Mira T. Lee's debut novel is Everything Here is Beautiful. It comes out next week, and Lee will be speaking next Friday at the Harvard Bookstore. We'll have more information about that event at our website, radioboston.org. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.